Howdy! My name's Ernest Tubbs, and you're listening to the Phoenix Cinema Podcast. Not too sure what a podcast is, but that's what you're listening to, apparently.
Welcome to Phoenix Cinema Podcast. My name is Chris Austin, and joining me today is a very good friend of mine, Mr. Tad Cooley. Welcome, Tad.
Hello, my friend. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, sir? So happy to have you on this thing.
Oh, I am delighted. I'm up bright and early, but I wouldn't do it for anybody else. Yeah, since you started this podcast, I've been waiting for that phone call. So thank you for having me on, my friend.
It was always gonna come. let's tell people the four people who listen to this show anyway, how we know each other. How did we?
Hey, mom.
How
did we meet?
Yeah, hi, mom.
So we met, I want to say in the year 2012. So I guess that makes it about 12 years. Mm-hmm. Well, we met in New York. We met at acting school. I mean, I would say you and I in particular got along relatively quickly. In fact, I kind of think maybe we were the outcasts, a little bit of the drama school, you know, going to our little bar and talk about acting and, you know, staying at each other's houses and watching movies and deciphering stuff and just being artists. It was a lot of fun.
It was.
But over the years, you and I have maintained a really great friendship, and I'm grateful for that. So thanks for having me here, man.
As am I, man. And I will always remember. I mean, it's so strange. I think the reason we became friends, Tad, is because we are so different. I mean, we couldn't be more different in terms of, like, culturally, our backgrounds, you know, our upbringing. And so I think I'm just endlessly fascinated by you. And immediately I was like, who is this guy and what is he? And I used to always observe you. I mean, remember I was a week late to the school or something? I was known as the ghost or something like that. And I remember just you would always in breaks, like in between classes or when we had a lunch break or whatever, you would pick up your bag, your rucksack, and you would at the end of the school day, and you would just leave and you'd go somewhere. And then you'd come back. And then I remember once stopping you and being like, so what are you going to do today? What are you up? And you're like, well, I'm going to go to the library. I'll probably like check out a couple of movies there. And then I'm just going to head to this bar. And then and I was like, cool. Can I join you? One day I was like, that sounds good. Can I tag along? And you were like, yeah, cool, man, whatever. And I was like, and from then on, it was kind of like, it was us through the school year, you know, it was me and Tad throughout. And, yeah, I mean, like you said, such good times, man. Such good times. But what I want to know, what inspired you to make that move? Or rather, before we even get to that, what are your cinematic touchstones? Who or what are the idols or the movies that were a major influence on you growing up? And I guess what inspired you to, you know, want to become an actor?
Well, those are two really good questions. One of which, I grew up in Texas in a small, tiny farm town that Chris has been to and seen. Mm-hmm. But I was gifted this great, great person in my life, and I'm so glad you got to meet him. We called him Uncle Jack.
Oh.
And we would go to, we kind of lived out in this sort of isolated land. It was out in the middle of nowhere. There was a house, a pond, and on the other side of the pond was a log cabin where the man who raised me, his uncle lived. And this man has lived a life in full, going from Singapore to Paris to Louisiana to China.
What?
He was a vice president of this major company, and I'm not going to say the name, but so basically he retired early, and he was a bachelor all of his life. He passed away a bachelor, rest in peace. But he had us boys, me and my two brothers, to look after in his retirement. And that's how he loved spending the rest of his days. But this was also a man that was full of knowledge and had an entire room, like a small apartment size room, full of VHSs and DVDs, from college lectures to all of Scorsese's films, mm-hmm. so on and so on. Things black and white, things brand new. Mm. And he loved, more than anything, us going there and wanting to learn about something. And when I, as a kid, discovered acting, which is by punishment, by the way, I went to a theater camp because my parents thought that it would be great punishment for me because I was a bad kid. I played football as a bad kid. They sent me to musical camp. They didn't think that I would in turn go like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to work out again. That was my decision, by the way. It was so just like hardcore. I was a made up role in Once on This Island, the play, or musical. And, I loved it so much. I was like, oh, this is it. This is what I want to do. And I dropped it.
Yeah.
It was full stop. I so regret not at least giving football a little bit more chance so I can experience it in my young life, whatever. Anyway, you know, the one person for sure that was like, amazing, watch these, was Uncle Jack. He showed me who Marlon Brando and James Dean talked about the era of Stella Adler, the coach, and Elia Kazan, and all of these people that were Strasburg, people that were bringing in this this new wave of actors that at a certain point, it was very fake and very prosthetic in general speaking terms. And then whenever Marlon Brando entered the scene and some of these great Rock Hudson, some of these really good actors came in, it was such an eye-opening experience for people to see somebody truly go through the human experience on camera. And so Uncle Jack, he brought me through by watching Giant, a James Dean film, a myriad of Marlon Brando, especially those two actors, and I kind of love them after that. But and then I found through that the Coen brothers. And so that's a long-winded answer to your question of what sort of is like the tone and the thing that I love and what kind of like personifies the style or genre that I love that really hooked me into wanting to be an actor and pursuing all that. And I would say pretty much anything the Coen brothers do. And funny enough, well, I'll save that, but there's a movie in particular that I like a lot. I'm kind of obsessed with.
A favorite of theirs? On.
Yes. I'll save it for later, though.
Oh, okay. Okay, nice. You know, it's funny. Just as you were talking now, I realized as you said it that, oh yeah, the Coens are your favorite filmmakers. Yeah. I'd forgotten that. But that's amazing, man. That geez, I mean, it sounds like you had a better sort of film history lesson than I did. I mean, I'm sure you've seen movies. I just haven't. There are so many. I mean, Dean, Brando. I mean, there's still such glaring you know, blank spots for me, their filmography. There's so much I'm still yet to see from them, you know, which I'm sure you have, which is, and you know what, I'm so glad you mentioned Uncle Jack, because I would just like to talk about my really fond memory of my time in Texas at Thanksgiving. So, you know, we were still studying acting school in New York, and you invited me over for Thanksgiving, and I said, yep, great. And I came over, you know, it was my first time in Texas, and you were my chaperone, my host, my guide. And I spent, a few days with you, up to a week or so. Yeah. And it was, I mean, we had such a great time. It was amazing, you know, and your family as well were just so welcoming and you know, hospitable to me. But, you know, there was one night and we spent it with Uncle Jack, and everybody sort of came over to his place, you and your family and your stepfather, Chad's family. And we're all sitting there drinking, talking. And then at certain points, he would just launch into these Shakespeare soliloquies completely unprompted. And everyone would just, I remember everybody just fell silent and listened. And no one spoke until he was finished. And even at that point, he was ill, right? He was suffering from, was it dementia?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So his mind wasn't all there, and so it made it even more fascinating that these random moments of absolute clarity and memory, and when he would speak Shakespeare, the power of those words, the beauty of the language, and his ability to recall those words and speak them with such passion, it filled the room. It was at such a wonderful moment. And then everybody left, and me and you decided to stay and carry on hanging out with him. And I remember his room full of movies. Were they VHS tapes and DVDs? Or was like a whole mixture of things? And he also had so many CDs. And I asked him on my request if he could pop into his stereo a CD. It was like a Western soundtrack compilation album. So he did. And he put it in, and we're just hanging out, and all of a sudden, this song starts to play, Claudia's Theme by Lenny Niehaus from the movie Unforgiven, which is one of my faves of all time. It began to play, and it's one of my favorite themes of all time, and it was just so surreal. I remember having this sort of out-of-body experience where I literally took myself out of it, and I remember thinking, this is truly a special moment right now for me. We were just hanging out. We were nursing a glass of whiskey on the rocks. We were shooting pool and shooting the shit. And I'm so far from home. You know, I've come so far, literally. And this moment was just so special and so beautiful. And I really felt like I'd found, you know, such a special friendship with yourself and this amazing group of people in your family. And I was so happy to share it with you and Uncle Jack. And, you know, he's gone now, but I will always, always have that memory.
What a lovely, and I just want to add to that visual. We were sitting on these leather-bound couches across from each other, and in the center was a coffee table,
mm-hmm.
and then one end of the coffee table was a fireplace, and the other was a leather sofa, of which it was Jack's chair. And we sat on the couches. And when he, especially when he, I want to say it was actually from the M word, the Macbeth play. But he did recite it in such a beautiful way. He always gave me a hard time because I still am trying to be a better fan, but I'm not a big fan of Shakespeare. Forgive
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, an amazing night.
Yeah,
thank you for
truly.
Bringing that up. That's incredible.
Truly. Yeah, no, absolutely. So do you remember the particular moment that made you go, okay, I'm going to New York and I'm going to be an actor. I'm going to train.
I do. Again, from a small, tiny town, but I went to this college audition in Houston, and it was a bunch of places, and then there was one place in New York. And that's kind of how I envisioned it. And basically, it's me and 350 other kids, or 450, however many. We're just in this ballroom, or like large, basically large space in a hotel. We're like in a large line. And then there's a bunch of, you know, there's a small stage that you stand on. You give 30 seconds comedic, 30 seconds dramatic, and then you get off.
Oof, it's not a lot of time.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. And it's a bad form, but whatever. like, what do you get out of that period of time anyway?
Right.
Or, maybe it was 60 seconds this, 60 seconds that. It could have been that. That makes a little bit more sense. But anyway, it was a long time ago. But, you know, you go up on the stage and you perform, and there's a whole collage of, there's like 150 or some odd schools there from everywhere. And I was kind of at the end. So I got to see, I mean, there were some folks tanking and there were some folks doing really well. Mm. And then I just full send, you know, went for it. And I had a chance actually before to go and like talk with some of the schools. I went specifically to find the New York one. I talked to them, shook their hands, stuff like that. And so basically after you audition, you get this list of schools. There was like 30 minutes after, there's a bunch of papers with your name on it. And then there's like a list 1 through 10, and it would be schools that, you know, how badly they want you and everything else. And NYCDA was number one on mine. And then it was like University of Texas, this place, that place. Mm. And it was kind of a family dispute because I could have gone to numerous places in Texas with a full ride. And the New York one was definitely not, and it was far from home. And part of my family did not want me to make that. But I did, because I know that if you go to whatever place in Texas, it's not like you can go, you know, it's a different thing, at least at the time, audition-wise.
Mm. And the thing being so far from home is part of the whole adventure thrill of it, right?
Exactly. And there was, I went and toured one school to see if, you know, it felt right or not. And I immediately, my grandma took me, which she met.
Yeah.
She took me and I did the tour. It was really nice, cool facilities, all that. And I go and sit in her car. She was like, "So what did you think about this school?" I said, "I want to go to New York." So that's when I knew.
And I'm so, so glad you did. And the thing is, what, you know, we went through school and we had our experiences, and honestly, we could devote hours to just talking about that. But since school, you know, you've gone on to, you know, make a career and a career that I've always been so impressed by and obviously hugely supportive of. You've been on television, you've been on stage with some very well-known character actors. So what would you say is the thing that you're most proud of with what you've accomplished? It doesn't have to be in your career, but just in life.
this is going to sound a little funny, but the thing that I'm most proud of is realizing that there's a business side and then there's the art.
Mm.
And what I care about is the art. And that's where I am now, rather than caring about the business side of things, which is completely out of any actor's control, mm-hmm. unless if they are some rich executive producer.
Mm-hmm.
It's been such a fun experience, and I have great memories that I'll keep with me forever. And my career will continue, but it's been this lovely sort of I had to realize that no matter what, and this goes for like so many actors out there, because I guarantee you and I know that the best actors in the world, you don't see them on stage, you don't see them on camera, there's people, the business is separate from the art. And anyways, my best like acknowledgement moment is just like, keep honing your craft and be the best artist you can. It doesn't matter like what accolades or what people see you in, as much as, you know, as weird as that might sound, but that's the art piece stuff really gives me so much.
Absolutely. And yes, and I want to get onto that as well, but just to get on to what you're saying there, you separate, it's almost like a separation, right? Between business and art, that separation, does it allow you to sort of deal with rejection and disappointment
so easier? Much better. Yeah. So much easier. Yeah.
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 I mean, I couldn't agree more with that. Actually, it's something that I still struggle with, because I think we're all human, right? And we have chosen a line of business that is so, so difficult for your mental health in general. And I think that's really, it's still something I'm trying to come to terms with every day as well, is this, you know, it's not personal, and you just have to keep going, no matter what, even if it feels impenetrable at times.
So to that, if you have the ultimate like confidence in yourself as an artist, it does not matter what a single person says about your acting ability, because you know, with this sort of, and I wouldn't even say a cocky confidence, it's just like, yeah, I do my work. I know that I'm an artist that will go there and will absolutely do the job, or tell the story. And it doesn't matter what this person says or doesn't say, or, you know, likes or doesn't like about my performance.
Mm-hmm. As long as you feel fulfilled and you know you've given it your all and you can walk away from it. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you said keep honing your craft. and that brings us on to what you do now currently with RPing. And I don't think many people know exactly what this is, okay? Maybe you can like, give a brief explanation of it. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, so I didn't either. So basically, there's a thing called RP in games, in the gaming community. So in video games, if you're familiar with the title Grand Theft Auto, of all things, and Red Dead Redemption, and there's other games out there, but basically PC modders have gotten the ability to basically grab the vehicle, like the maps of these games, like say Red Dead Redemption, which if you know about it, it's a very large scale Western late 1800s game, like in the Old West. And essentially it's made in a way to where you can enter and you can make a character if you want to try to be a sheriff's deputy or a doctor or a farmer, or you run a general store, or, you know, any myriad of things that you can pretty much come up with. There's a bunch of different communities where people are, once they get in, they're completely committed to their character and playing said character through whatever role. And I just found it on TikTok that some, you know, retired cop was playing a police officer in this video game, and I thought it was like so weird and fascinating. I watched for a while because I kind of thought, you know, like, this is a little odd. So I love odd things. Mm. And I kept watching and I realized like, oh, this is a great way to like keep the thing running while I'm like, you know, auditioning for stuff, or I have an acting job here and I'm waiting for the next acting job. And I'm just kind of like keeping my chops up. So interestingly enough, because it's all improv and it's all story building and stuff like that, it's really polished me up as an improv performer, which is really cool. But it's absolutely such a fun way to make those like deep multi-layered characters and go out into the world and kind of see how other people react and just go through with that. I've had such crazy, incredible, dramatic, heart-wrenching, hilarious, full of love scenes. Chris can attest because he's been watching the whole time.
it's become an obsession of mine. It is like watching your favorite TV series. And I'm so lucky that the series is still on the air, so to speak. You know what I mean? This is something that you just sent to me once. You went, hey, check this out. I've been doing this thing on Twitch. And I was like, okay, what even is this? I have become so addicted to it that I use any spare time I have to watch it. And I am invested now. I'm invested in your characters. And I'm fascinated by the continuous role play of yourself and this entire community of people who are doing this. It's incredible. And I'm so impressed because, you know, I'm an actor myself. You know this, we train together, and yet improvisation scares the shit out of me because, you know, if you have a script in your hand, you have a foundation, right? You have something to follow. You are going out there every day for hours and you're interacting with people in character and you just don't know what's going to happen. But to what you said, it's scary, but it's so surprising. It can be wonderful. There are times when you are angry. There are times when you're emotional. There are times when you are laughing and I'm laughing along with you. I'm crying along with you. It is such an amazing thing. And, you know, we all have to, as actors, find something, right, to keep us ticking over when we're not working. Whatever that may be, we have to kind of train our minds to stay sharp. You do it in a way that I'd never encountered before, and I love it. And I really hope it continues, man. I think it's fantastic. I can only imagine the wonders this is doing for you as an actor, you know? I feel like if anyone came to you with a job now, you're like, yep, I'm ready. I'm ready because I'm in that space every day.
It scratches the creative itch. And also with that, I do believe that this sort of thing has only been going on for a few years now at this point. And it's only going to get better. And I am under the belief of, because there's already large communities that follow role play streamers, ones that are entertaining in their various different types of ways. But I do think this is just like the dawn of a new era of entertainment, as everything's sort of changing in the TV film world anyway, and people are going more to the TikTok type things or the short form or like what some streamers doing on Twitch or Kick. I do believe as these games just get better and better, the graphics get better, this RP sort of nature that in this culture that's been created kind of by computer modders, I guarantee there's a lot of notice being taken by the large corporate entities that make these games, these AAA games. I guarantee this is just the beginning of a whole new era of like video game storytelling, and you know, and that's not necessarily why I'm into it, but it does make me excited because I want to see what else is out there.
Truly excited, truly. And listen, I've played Red Dead Redemption 2 in the pandemic. That was my thing. I completed the story. It's one of the greatest games I've ever played. There are moments watching you just RP in the open world of Red Dead that match the incredible narrative storytelling of that game. So, it's incredible. And I really, truly hope it continues. And I look forward to just keeping an eye on it and seeing its progress as we go along. Well, Tad, listen, man, I just want to say it's been, thank you for coming on this thing. I feel like we could talk for hours, you and me. There's so much left unsaid, but maybe we can have you back on and we can just pick this up. It's been a blast, man.
Absolutely. I would do this any time of the week. It would be such an honor. And thank you for all of your support that you give me. As an artist, you know, we're talking about, you know, that feeling of just acknowledgement that as long as you have your art, like, fulfilled, like that part of you that's being fulfilled, like there's really nothing that can top that. And through RP and all of these different things, I've found that for myself. So thank you for being a part of it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You're welcome, my friend. You're welcome. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. I want to say a special thanks to Phoenix Cinema, as always. Our music is by Stefan Krieger, and our episodes are edited by Noah Anderson. If you want to watch a movie, head to the Phoenix Cinema, and I'll meet you there. A huge thank you once again to Tad Cooley for coming on and giving us his time. One thing to direct you to, which we didn't get to in the episode, but Tad streams on Twitch under the name Cap'n Cooley. Cap'n Cooley. CAPNCOOLEY. Cap'n Cooley, check him out on Twitch. And watch the amazing streams that he does and these incredible moments that he puts together with this entire other community of characters all RPing in the Red Dead Redemption community. It's truly astounding. I really, really enjoy it. So yeah, check it out when you can. Thanks, folks.